This will be good show, I hope.
And a high fly ball, center field, he hit it a ton, it's gone! And the 2010 Central Division Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
Has the football, short drop, lobs one down the sideline for Binns, he's got it! Touchdown! 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 Armand Binns!
See, this is the kind of thing, quite honestly, right now, that makes you want to see the Chicago Cubs team lose.
And it is Bobo. Oh, yeah! And caught! Yeah! AJ Green makes the catch. Ooh! On the ricochet Hail Mary. As a prayer is answered in the end zone by Adriel Jeremiah.
And a happy Labor Day to everybody. I don't really understand what Labor Day is. I think it's something with the unions, right? So
I think it's the day that like all the women who are pregnant just go into labor.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Statistically, the most babies are born on the first Monday in September, so they call it Labor Day.
Good to know. Good to know. Well, it's Labor Day, and yesterday was cut day for the NFL. Lots of names flying out there that they got released.
Some surprises.
Yeah, for the Bengals as well. I mean, it's...
Yeah, stuff you've never seen.
The Bengals will have one linebacker on the roster come opening day. So, I don't know. What'd you think, Jeff? I mean, you're the one that...
I'm not happy that they're carrying four linebackers. I mean, they do have some safeties they could roll down. Like we were talking a little bit before we started recording. Clayton Flagellum could come down and, you know, kind of be a cover linebacker. He's a bigger safety. So I don't think that they're done. It has to happen quick, but I do think they pick up some people. It's weird that they're carrying 11 D linemen, even though they all are pretty good.
Unless they planned on using some of them at linebacker, which they've done in the past.
Carl Lawson, and I mean, they have two or three guys that could do that.
Sure.
Dunlap's dropped back in coverage before, so I mean it's not crazy.
Sam Hubbard is another guy that does well standing up. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But having four right now is a little bit odd. But I trust that they know what they're doing, which is weird to say.
Yeah.
That could also just be kind of taking like a Madden defense approach and just gonna run dime the whole time.
Love it.
The biggest surprise was
they're gonna take control of the linebacker and blitz.
Get all your speed on the field.
Make on the running back and
run the all out blitz three times a series.
Yep. Field goal block on second one.
The biggest surprise was them, you know, bringing Dolagala, you know, through on the 53 man, which is like awesome to see because a guy that showed so much potential, Marvin Lewis would have never made that decision. He would have just let him go and he would have signed with a team. Cause dude's got so much potential. Not to say that it's ever going to come of anything, but he's got a cannon. So he was not making the practice squad, which I do think they'll roll him to the practice squad. But God, man, I did not expect that at all.
I thought it was, I didn't see like what went into it or why, but I assume that just meant Driscoll was gone, but Driscoll's on like the injured list or something like that, which I didn't know he was injured.
It sounds like they're going to do a settlement with him too or something, possibly.
Yeah, they do. They did that with, who they did, was it Maluga? They did that with somebody not too long ago, like within like the last 3 or 4 years. They did an injury settlement where it's a parting gift type of thing. Like, hey, thanks for coming out. We're not going to keep you here, but to get out of your contract, here's a chunk of change, and then they can go sign wherever. I don't know how that all works. But, yeah, I don't know what his because he didn't even play in the fourth preseason.
It was a hamstring, I think, is what,
it was.
He had going on, yeah.
The Josh Malone release kind of surprised me a little bit. Yeah. But when you see how well the young receivers have played, I guess it's not that surprising. I think Malone was going into his third or fourth year, and his potential was really high coming out of, I think, Tennessee. You know, we all kind of thought that he was going to be that third guy behind Boyd and AJ Green, and it just never really worked out for him.
Yeah.
And I hope he gets on somewhere and ends up coming up, you know, with a team and doing well. But it was a little surprising to see him released.
Well, everybody was kind of weirded out by they picked up Pharaoh Cooper.
Yeah.
And everybody was kind of weirded out by that. But it sounds like Zach Taylor really likes Erickson. And I don't know that he's going to completely be out of the kicking game, but that Pharaoh Cooper is like a known returner.
He was he made the Pro Bowl a couple years ago as a returner, correct?
With the Rams.
So it'll be interesting to see Erickson's role, because I think it's going to be more than it's been in the past. Kind of like not like, I mean, hopefully a Julian Edelman.
Yeah, just throw it out there.
I mean, hopefully a Julian Edelman type is what we're getting. But I mean, Erickson made some appearances in Marvin's like era, but he never truly like was used as a wide receiver. It sounds like Zach Taylor wants to use him as a wide receiver. So
let's go with Cooper Kupp as a Rams reference.
There you go.
I mean, but it kind of sounds like him and John Ross will kind of split a role. I mean, obviously, John Ross will be more involved when he's healthy because he's their guy. But we'll see.
I hate being this way, but I just have no confidence in Ross.
It's hard too.
And I mean, he hasn't been on the field enough to warrant it, and he hasn't performed when he has been on the field. Yeah. So I feel like with the first round pick that we spent on him a couple years ago, I feel like I really want him to perform, but it just hasn't happened yet. I'm rooting for him this year, obviously, but haven't seen any production on the field from him in this is what, his fourth season, I think?
Yeah.
Third or fourth?
Third. I think it's his third. Right?
It might be third.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about the O-line depth. I think it's funny that Christian Westerman got brought back and released.
I've been nervous about that depth for 3 years now.
So, yeah, we were nervous going into the season when they had a first-round draft pick that they were going to be bringing in, and they had all their guards that had retired still on the roster. And then all that shit happened, and it's like, okay, who's going to block for Dalton? Obviously he needs a good offensive line to be effective, so that doesn't bode well. And if you don't have an offensive line, you're not going to have a running back, no matter how good Mixon is. So
that's why I don't think they're done. I think they're going to pick some interior help up, because Billy Price can't be your only option with, you know, his kind of short injury history. I don't think that could be your only option.
They have to do, though. If they're going to try and get offensive line help, they have to do something at linebacker, like we talked about. So.
And there's no offensive lineman. Like they were saying, there's been no notable offensive lineman or linebackers released by many teams right now. So it would have to come via trade, which would be Erickson or John Ross or something like that, or one of the D linemen.
And I don't know, but Billy Price, I don't think he's played linebacker for a while. So I think that him being since high school. Yeah.
But
he looks like a linebacker, though.
He looks like the linebacker from
Mr. Clean.
I was going to say, he looks like a heavy set version of the linebacker from Playmakers.
Yeah.
With the shaved head, which is a Cincinnati native, by the way.
Yeah, it all comes full circle.
He went to Marymount or somewhere like that, I think. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe the Bengals are just hoping they're going to transition into an arena league set up where they only need, I think, what, three linemen? Is that what you play with in the arena league?
Nice. So, as long as you got a mobile QB, you're good.
They'd be good there. They would have Finley that can move around a little bit better, I guess, and Dalton, supposedly. I don't know. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do with the offensive line, and it's not like the Seahawks got weaker on the defensive line over the last couple of days.
Yeah,
week one might be disastrous.
Yeah,
it's just funny that they're putting, you know, all their eggs into the basket of running short on linebacker and O line. Their two weakest positions from a year ago. it's hard to be hopeful, you know, especially if there's an injury. Good God, they're screwed.
So going back to what Benny Mac was saying that, you know, Clowney got traded to the Seahawks over the weekend. I guess someone plugged in Madden that trade that happened for the Seahawks, and it was declined by all the 30 different Madden GMs.
I get it, Clowney's good, they got killed on that trade. They gave up so much. I'm pretty sure six picks and two players.
It was two players and one pick, I think, but it was that's just what I saw in the Instagram graphic that I saw. But the major thing is this moves the Texans down to almost dead last for odds to win the Super Bowl, because they obviously didn't have a ton of talent going into the season, and losing Clowney isn't great for them.
They just traded for Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, they got Laremy Tunsil.
Well,
and from the Dolphins.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Which is the best part about the whole Kenny Stills thing. Didn't Kenny Stills hate the Dolphins situation because of support for Trump? But isn't,
I don't remember.
But I believe Texans owner is one of the guys that was very big proponent of the stand for the anthem. So it's not like it was just kind of funny that he got traded. Or no, Kenny Stills was mad about the Jay-Z stuff. It was the Jay-Z stuff with the owners and how Jay-Z was supporting the owners or something like that. So he went from being upset about that in Miami to going to whatever what's the owner's name in Texas or Houston? It's it's a name, it is Robert McNair, Bob McNair.
Yep.
And he's dead, so never mind.
I have it as Janice McNair and Cal McNair.
Yeah, Bob McNair died in November. So,
was he happy
Thanksgiving.
R.I.P.
Who was the one that had some questionable comments that people were...
That was Bob McNair.
That's what I thought.
So 2 weeks before the season, so Andrew Luck retires. Does Dalton do it a week before now?
I would if I were him.
Yeah,
I'd say screw this.
Or do they just run the ball 200 times like they're probably going to do in a freaking game or have to do to be successful?
They might. Not going to do it in the week one against the Seahawks.
No.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out. We haven't really seen Zach Taylor open up the offensive playbook much in the preseason. Yeah. So we don't really know exactly what kind of offense to expect, but there's going to be some growing pains. Even if they have a decent stretch, it's going to be rough goings for a while, even if it's not a personnel issue, just growing pains of a new offensive coordinator, new coaching staff, everything. So,
and outside of everything that's been going on, it was nice to see something different.
This was different than...
We didn't keep the same guys, like Cody Core, who has not contributed to the team outside of whatever he does on special teams that I've never noticed, is gone. Some of the main Marvin guys are gone. It sucks right now because and with a new head coach, it's always going to be like this. It's like kind of a Super Bowl or bust scenario because you got so much changing. But it's nice to actually see. We had all those years of Marvin where it was ownership, and nothing changed. And now Zach Taylor said, I'm going to change. It's a new day. And they did. They did different things. So they hopefully it continues. Hopefully it continues. So I actually was very happy about it.
New commercials.
It's
game day.
The balls.
Yeah.
I was a fan of a lot of the moves. I was surprised by some of them. I don't think either way they were going to be in a better position no matter what they do. Outside of signing two or three blockbuster O linemen and linebackers, I don't know what else they could have done.
Yeah, it's not the greatest situation right now. Would say.
No. So it's just now let's just see what happens. Hopefully it's not too bad. And if it is, then you can
say Maybe hopefully, yeah, hopefully it is. So we can just build again through the draft.
Yeah.
Get us a nice offensive tackle that'll get hurt before he plays it down for us.
That's the other thing about trading. Like, if they're going to, like, be bad this year, like, do they really want to trade and kill, you know, possible draft positions next year and give away picks that they don't need to give away if they're just going to be terrible this year? Like,
maybe they're going to trade stuff away and acquire picks.
It's true. Good night.
There's potential to.
They've got
to
people.
Suck this year and benefit from it, because the Steelers, Ben's going to be gone within the next couple years probably. The Ravens, they may be set back by a coaching change here in a little while, because I feel like if this Lamar Jackson stuff doesn't work out, Harbaugh might not be around much longer. Mm-hmm. The Browns are just a ticking time bomb right now with a lot of the personalities, and you just never know how things are going to go with they kind of not necessarily took an all-in approach, but there's a lot of boom or bust situations in Cleveland right now. So the Bengals could just lie in the weeds right now, take their lumps for the next year or two, and be ready by 2021-22 to be a new force in the AFC North like they were for a while there, where they were the team that was going to win that division or lose in the wild card game. So, like, they were and we weren't expecting it when it happened. That stretch was not expected whatsoever. No. So, but it happened because of those miserable years towards the end of Carson, the years leading up to that, where, they were quietly building a lot of good pieces, and then they got really lucky with Andy being ready right away and A.J. Green being who he was, and then some mix of veterans and guys they had picked up in the last couple years in the draft. So, you could see another mirrored situation like that in the next couple of years, especially with the division on the downward trend. But if you asked any fan of any of those teams, they would say their position for a good stretch as well. So, that might just be bias, me thinking that, the other three teams are going to be on their decline, but you just never know, I guess.
I think kind of looking at the division, the only team in my eyes that really got better was the Browns. I don't think that the Ravens got any better. The Steelers got worse by losing two of their best players. And the Bengals are probably even as far as what they did last year. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to see where the division is going when, the team that is historically awful was the only team that possibly got better. I don't know. It's hard to see where this division is going, and I don't think that the Browns are, the next level yet. But at some point, you got to expect that, the Bengals will hit that curve again, where, whether Andy is on his way out or not, the Bengals may be good here in the next couple of years. I don't know.
And I'm an optimist, but it has to at least excite you a little bit that, like, the Jake Dugal has come out of nowhere. Like, Damian Willis, like, nobody knew who Damian Willis was at the beginning of the summer.
Right.
Like, guys like that coming out of nowhere, they're undrafted.
Yeah, it's extremely exciting that those guys that are coming out of nowhere are going to be key contributors to the team.
But, Damian Willis wasn't a bad player in college. Right. He wasn't horrible. He just went to a small school and didn't test well. But he's got 5.4 speed.
I hope not.
Jesus.
Four, five speed. But 5.4 speed.
He's got Jeff speed.
Yeah. I think I'm even faster than that. Well, not now, but. But yeah, he's a guy that when you watch his tape, like his highlight tape, he was a freaking beast and played good against, big teams last year. So a guy that you didn't expect, nobody knew about him. That's why he didn't get drafted. Right. And then guys like that coming out of nowhere, that at least excites you a little bit to see some of that. And they had two or three stories like that this year. So I'm excited at least to see where it's at in a couple of years.
For the Bengals this season, I think the only thing that I'm really excited about is to see Zach Taylor take the reins from Marvin. Mm-hmm. I I'm pretty pessimistic when it comes to the actual roster. I don't see a ton of talent on the team, and I don't think that they're going to be a great team. Even in the down AFC North, I don't see them being contenders. But I am excited to see what Zach Taylor brings to the offense and to see what they can do versus what Marvin has done in the past, you know, 5 years with Andy. So I am excited to see Zach Taylor.
See, I think they still have a lot of talent. I just think that there's going to be growing pains.
And my concern is that the holes that they have right now are big enough to the point where I don't know that we're going to get to see what Zach Taylor can do with this team. Because I think, again, the offensive line, if it's really as bad as we think it's going to be, I mean, that affects your passing game, your running game, I mean, all aspects of the offense. So you're really not going to get to see that transform until they can really get somebody in there that can block consistently enough to where, you know, they can have holes for Mixon to run through. They can give Dalton or whoever it's going to be in a couple years time to throw the ball. They can give the receivers time to get open. So my concern is we're not going to get to see Zach Taylor's full potential. And, you know, hopefully if this is something that's going to linger for a couple years where we're struggling to get an offensive line that's, you know, good enough to perform, that the coaches are going to, not the coaches, it's not their choice, but that the upper management is going to be patient enough to give Zach Taylor that time, knowing that this is what he really inherited and he's doing his best to kind of build it up right now, but you know, he doesn't have a ton to work with right now.
Right.
This is a little bit of a change of direction, but I'm reading a little bit about Damian Willis right now. And I knew that he had like a weird journey to get to Troy, but I didn't know he went to Last Chance U.
Yeah, he was on like a prep, like the JUCO.
Yeah, he went to East Mississippi.
Yeah, EMCC. Yeah,
yeah, and then they said that the reason that happened is because he had two schools that were going to offer him. One of them was UC, and the other was Ole Miss. And the guy from UC, they were like, another guy took his visit before he got there and he committed. So they were like, hey, like, sorry, there's no more scholarships. And then Ole Miss, it came down to who one of these guys was going to pick. And it was one of those, commitment day things where nobody really knew who this guy was going to. Mm-hmm. And he had all the hats laid out and he picked up Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So that meant his, like, if that guy picked any other school, he would have gone to Ole Miss.
Yep.
And then, so then they said, go to East Mississippi, and then whenever there's a spot available, we'll come get you. Well, he ended up staying there and ended up at Troy. So, which guy were you thinking of, Whit? The guy that had two?
So, as soon as you started saying he had two schools he was, like, going to go to, it made me think of when I was, and I've never seen the show, but on a podcast I listened to, they actually talked to one of the coaches that was, because I guess they switched schools at one point, but he was, the guy was the coach at one for a couple of years, and he recently got let go or whatever. There was some controversy with him, but they were talking to him, and he was talking about how one of the kids that he got there was ruled ineligible by the NCAA because he committed to two schools at once. And then, like, I think after he got through the program or whatever, he did it again or something like that. So, yeah, but when you said he had two schools, I thought it was that guy. No.
Not that I'm aware of, at least not in this article, but
yeah,
that's funny. That's like like the worst nightmare of like when you get caught like having multiple girlfriends, like when you're I swear I didn't know you me either, but like if I was good looking and you know ladies desired me, like
I'm not a good looking man.
But like, you're talking to, you know, Ole Miss, like, oh, no, man, what I'm saying to Mississippi State doesn't mean anything, I promise.
Yeah. I love you, baby.
I love you, Ole Miss.
I think that's what excited me about Damian Willis was because when they started talking about him a couple weeks ago, I popped on his film and kind of read about what happened to him. And you're expecting to hear, like, he did something stupid or he failed school, but his just his path was weird. What?
Just the way he failed school.
Failed school.
Failed school.
The way he did.
You just expected to hear like some weird thing that happened that derailed his career. But it, I mean, he just bad luck.
most guys in the U that were at East Mississippi Community College, it was either they had terrible grades or they got in trouble or something like that. There were very few guys that were like, oh, I just didn't have a good opportunity, so I'm here to get better.
And that's when I heard the Last Chance U thing. I was like, well, what did he do? And then you start reading about him, and it was just like, well, he just bad luck.
So I'm excited for him. I think he'll be good, hopefully. And I was looking at some notable undrafted rookie wide receivers, and there have been some pretty decent names come out of that. Like recently, I think, isn't Robbie Anderson one of those guys from the Jets?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But yeah, there's a handful that are decent. They've had decent contribution, not number one receiver type stuff right out of the gate, but you know, stuff that, you know, good contributors. So yeah, Robbie Anderson was one of those undrafted guys out of Temple.
Nice.
And now I don't know that the Jets truly have a number one wide receiver, but he's probably one of the top targets right now. So, but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. Interesting times ahead for the Bengals. So the Reds sucked all weekend. I don't really feel like we need to talk about them right now. So. God. They almost lost four games in 48 hours, which would have been impressive. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have been a record, shockingly. But
I tried to look that up, but I couldn't find it in short time, and I gave up.
It's like, I think Joel Luckup did something. Someone asked him about it, if it would be a record. And there was a team called, like, the Louisville something from way back in the day that lost five games in 2 days. Jeez. I think it was like a makeup, like the last bit of like a restart. And then a doubleheader on each day or something like that. Yeah. That's probably impressive.
Back when they did doubleheaders regularly.
Too. Yeah, because they used to do weekend doubleheaders pretty much nonstop. So, which I'm surprised. I know it's all about money, but I'm kind of surprised with the way things go that they haven't tried to do some sort of, like, you know, once a month a team plays a scheduled doubleheader.
Yeah,
because I feel like even when we were younger kids, that was kind of like they did schedule double headers, and it was a bigger deal. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. Now you only get them when there's, you know, a rain delay or a rain out. So
yep.
I don't know. That would be kind of cool to see the scheduled double header. I always think of, is it on Major League when they had a double header the one day in Major League 2 or something like that, and like they. Nobody was able to play or something, and like Jake Taylor could barely walk or something like that.
I think it's the second one, yeah.
I think it's, but I mean, because back then that was
because that's when Charlie Sheen and Willie Mays Hayes,
getting a fight in the dugout,
wild thing, and Willie Mays Hayes getting a fight.
Calls him Tin Man. He's like, old Tin Man or something.
We hold off the Pirates at this point is all I really care about.
I hope Gino's hand isn't a maraca. Is that what you're going to say, Dan?
I was going to say he hit his 40th bomb and then ended up getting smacked in the arm. So
yeah.
40 home runs on the season. It's been a while since we had a Red do that.
Probably.
It might have been Dunn.
Yeah, because Votto hit 37.
Yeah, I don't know that he ever hit 40.
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah, it's been a while for Gino. He's had a really good season, and I hope that he keeps developing and contributing the way that he has. He's been exciting to watch all year.
As hot as he's been, like, it was one of those deals where he could have sniffed 50, if he stayed hot right now. So he could have gotten there, but doesn't look like it'll happen now, even if he is okay the rest of the way. Looks like Dunn hit 46 back in 2004 and 2006 and 2000. So Dunn hit 40 on the nose in 2007. Was the most recent 40 home run hitter.
Nice.
So I saw something about, isn't Gino like the most, Gino and Andres Galarraga, something about like Venezuelan born, 40 home run club. I don't remember what the exact stat was, but it was something about, like, let me see if I can find it real quick. But it was pretty elite company for, I mean, I guess you don't have many power hitters come out of Venezuela usually, but.
He had a pretty good series in Miami when, because I think that's where he lives in the off season.
Yeah, it is.
When they were there.
Yep. Let's see here if I can find the. So Galarraga did it three times. But the sixth Venezuelan player to hit 40 home run.
Nice.
So
good job, hopefully he's not, keep it up.
Hopefully he's not stuck on 40 because of injury.
Right.
But so yeah, that's pretty good company. And I think he's the first Red. I think he became the most home runs by a third baseman or something like that for the Reds. So he's a stud, and he's at a hell of a deal right now too.
Right.
Like, he's so team friendly on that deal, and it's not like it's not a lot of money either. I mean, it's a good pay. It's a good pay scale for what he is, but if he were coming up on free agency this year, I don't know if the Reds could afford to keep him.
I think we were talking on the back in the Natty Boys podcast when he actually signed the extension that this could be a sweetheart deal in the future, and I think we ended up being right about that, where it definitely looks great for the Reds that, you know, they had the confidence in him to sign him to big money, and now that he's actually there and putting up numbers like we expected, that the money is actually lower than what he could be making in the free market.
Yeah.
Which also brings a level of annoyance to me, because every single time there's a, you know, available like home run hitting player out there, everyone says that Gino could be a trade target because of his sweetheart deal. Like, well, no, the Reds want to keep him on that sweetheart deal because they're never going to replace.
Yeah.
Like, in this portion of their quote-unquote rebuild, like, this is the type of player you need to be around for another 5 or 6 years.
Right.
If they were going all in on it and just tanking, like, the Marlins and whatchamacallit, the Royals and... Who's the other team out there that was just god-awful right now?
Blue Jays are really bad.
Blue Jays are bad. Orioles, that's who it is. That's
Orioles are Orioles. Terrible.
Yeah, if they were in those situations, then maybe he'd be a tradable guy, but he's not going anywhere. I can't imagine. That being said, sorry, we'll see Gino on another team next year. But all right, well, the Reds, like we said, even though we gave them their couple of minutes just because they're a Cincinnati team, so we – not much good to say about them right now. Although Votto's hitting. Like, Votto's getting on base. Votto's doing what he should have been doing all season now that he changed his stance up. So Senzel did the same thing. So, yeah. That's nice, too, to see Senzel standing up in the box. And he said he knew there would be some growing pains with this new batting stance, but he felt that's what he had to do to be better next year. So that's
good. He had a little bit of a scare in the outfield.
Yeah.
I think last night. Saturday night.
I saw a clip of it. I wasn't watching when it happened, but
it was just him going for a ball and coming up with it was either a hamstring or a groin. It was hard to tell with the way he was moving afterwards. But
so damn hard.
He stayed in the game, and I don't think it ended up being a big deal. But I mean, for 5 or 10 minutes there, he was acting like, you know, he was a little injured.
Especially with his track record.
Yeah.
You just think, shit, like, now what is it?
Yeah.
So the Reds suck. Bengals, we're going to do our predictions later. Yep. But college football did start over the weekend, and it was good to see college football being back. I know that we had like a teaser game the week before with Miami versus Florida, but it was good to see. Yeah, it was good to see every single team back in action. The Bearcats played Thursday night against UCLA, and they ended up squeaking out a victory. They didn't look the best. You know, they could have been a lot better than they were. It should have been a blowout where they only ended up winning by 10. But that game could have gotten out of hand very quickly. And I feel like the Bearcats let UCLA hang around a little too long. And it could have been 24-0 in the beginning of the game.
Yeah, that was... Desmond Ridder definitely did not take a step back. I think that was a concern, that it was a flash in the pan freshman year type of thing. And he's never going to be a good deep threat necessarily, but he's very accurate. And when you've got a good tight end and good running backs, that's kind of all you need. And then you can – I felt like they did a very good job of getting their receivers open in space. There were a lot of times when he would throw to a guy that was literally standing by himself on the first down line. Like, I don't know how they were doing it and what the camera angle is. They weren't showing how it was happening, but it was like, why is that guy so wide open, and what did they do to get him open? And he made a couple throws, like, where he, you know, had to squeeze it in, or, you know, a couple throws where he threw it deep. But The one deep ball would have been six if he didn't underthrow it a little bit. He threw that terrible pick on that little whatever pick play type of thing at the end of the first half. But
well, that's what I was getting ready to text you, because I was watching the game and I didn't know much about him because I don't follow UC that closely. But and I was going to say, quarterback looks really good. He's been really accurate on everything. And as soon as I started getting ready to type that up, he throws that pick. I'm like, maybe I won't text that.
I feel like they were
lucky on that pick, because that guy ran it all the way back to where they'd be well within the scoring range, but they had that unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on that play that put him out of field goal range, and they ended up not scoring. So
I just feel like they put themselves in so many like third and long situations because their first two plays were just bad. And it wasn't penalties, and they just were bad design. They were doing a lot of inside running, which I remember going to the game where I kind of jokingly said, man, that running back's a stud, like seven games in the season. They were doing a lot more like jet sweeps and like outside running off the tackles last year when Warren was really effective. And for some reason, they were pounding him, in between the center and the guards. And it's like, dude, get some outside running going and get, 6 or 7 yards on your first and second downs.
Yeah, and I didn't know much about that Dokes guy, but if they can keep him and Warren both healthy, they're going to have a hell of a duo running back.
That would have been a completely different season last year if Dokes would have stayed healthy. We might not have known what Michael Warren could do if he stayed healthy.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's how he had that coming out party against UCLA last year, was because Dokes was hurt. So,
but they cannot put themselves in third and long against Ohio State.
No.
It's not going to end well for them if that's what they're doing.
The one thing that I did like about the Bearcats offense is that they, I think it was Pat McAfee who had talked to Fickell saying that they were going to take at least two shots downfield a quarter.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they lived up to that, where they were throwing the ball deep, taking shots downfield, which I like to see. I think Ritter's got the arm for it, and, their offensive weapons are toned up for that. I did like seeing that big play capability, even if they only hit, a couple of them. I like the idea of them going deep.
Going for it,
twice. Yeah, at least two times per quarter. And this weekend against the Buckeyes is going to be a huge test, obviously, with Witte's Buckeyes doing pretty well this past weekend against a not-so-formidable opponent.
No.
Kobe had a good game.
Kobe.
He did.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Florida International, or Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic. Put some respect on it.
Yeah. Lane Kiffin. I guess he can dominate whatever division they're, or not division, conference whatever USA conference they're in. Is it Conference USA?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And, but yeah, it's one of those deals where you just see the disparity, like the difference in talent level.
Mm-hmm.
And you might just have a lot of raw athleticism on teams like Florida Atlantic, where, their receivers might be as fast as Ohio State's receivers, or their DBs might be as quick as Ohio State's DBs, but they're just not cut from the same cloth. It's just...
They're playing tough teams, though. They got UCF next.
Yeah. God.
0-2.
I mean, they're no Georgia State. Is it Georgia State or Georgia Southern that beat Tennessee?
Georgia State.
Yeah, Georgia State.
That's one of the things I was really worried about with the Bearcats was them starting out 0-2. If they dropped the game to UCLA and then they went to the Buckeyes, but they ended up getting that first W against UCLA. Yep. I wasn't that impressed with the UCLA coach's offense, which is what he's known for.
Yeah. And this is the year that he should start having a little more. And that's what they kept saying. I can never remember the guy's full name, but DTR or whatever his name, the quarterback for UCLA.
Yeah.
They were singing his praises. Like, this is the guy that was made for Chip Kelly's offense. Like, they're going to be great. And I'm glad they got UCLA, because at the end of the day, they're going to look back and say, remember that year they beat UCLA 2 years in a row? You're not going to remember that this was Chip Kelly's first 2 years where he was just terrible.
Right.
But, yeah, I think it's one of those things where – sorry. I just saw on a replay where Joe West fell on one of the Mets and couldn't get up.
You see the guy's face?
Yeah.
Fucking.
Somebody cut it to where the angle was. You could just see the dude's face, and it was like that feeling when Joe West violates you.
Yeah.
And the dude was just like, oh!
Yeah. Like, you could tell he was like, oh, shit, what do I do? What do I do? It's Rajai Davis. But I saw the pictures on Twitter and stuff. I just never saw how it happened. But, yeah, but no, it'll be – it's nice that – and it reminds me as well of the year that OU beat Pitt, which we just saw on Twitter because they're playing Pitt next week.
Yeah.
The year that was our sophomore year in college, the year that they beat Pitt. Pitt was ranked relative – yeah. Pitt was ranked relatively high at the beginning of that year. I think they were like 16 or 19 or something like that.
Yep.
But then they ended up having a terrible season.
Yeah, and they won like 3 games or something. Yeah.
So – we'll always have that OU beat Pitt as the 19 team in the country or whatever.
Two defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
No, both by Deion Byram.
Zero offense.
Yeah.
That's what made it so crazy, because it was like, I remember, like, I played there, I'll just say that.
Well, you were on the roster.
No, I didn't play there, but at halftime I remember going in and just getting screamed at. Like, and I didn't play, but the offense getting screamed at because we didn't do anything. And then you come out and we won with 2 defensive touchdowns. It was just insane. Like, it was awesome. Yep.
Yep. That's one of my top memories from being a student at OU. Oh, was so rushing much the fun. Field after the game. And I think we all went and kind of tackled Jeff.
Yeah, because the security guard was like, is everything okay over here? And I was like, yeah. I didn't have a voice the next day. Like, it was insane. That was
a great night. Definitely one of my top memories there.
Yeah. Yep.
I think we got hammered that night. Like, it was
full. Well, yeah,
we already were.
I joined in and got hammered afterwards. It was such a good weekend.
We had a head start. Yeah. We were drunk enough that it lasted through an entire overtime college football game.
Yeah. So. I remember Mac just yelling at Dave Wanstead.
Oh, yeah, because we were sitting right by where the visiting team would walk back and forth.
Yeah.
Yep, he knows. Every day when I see him on whatever channel he's on, Fox Sports or whatever, I think, you know, he still remembers that drunk kid screaming at him, saying unspeakable things about his mother. Yeah. I wonder if he did actually know my mom. So, you know, let's leave moms out of this. It was a different time in our lives. But for the record, I did bang his mom. So,
Bearcats got an opening victory. The Buckeyes got an opening victory. And then they go play each other this upcoming weekend. Right. How you feeling, Whit? As the resident Buckeyes fan, I think the other three of us may be rooting for the Bearcats in that game. But how you feeling, Whit, against this Bearcat team?
I think my feelings are similar to what we said last time we talked about the game. You know, after seeing both teams play, I do think it's going to be a good game. I think ultimately the Buckeyes get some separation late, but I think it'll be close through the first, you know, 3 quarters plus, and then I think the Buckeyes will end up, you know, putting enough distance where it looks like it was not as close to the game as it was. But mm-hmm. I mean, the Bearcats are talented. I think that. It wouldn't shock me if they can pull off the upset. I don't expect it by any means, but I mean, they're definitely capable of it. So we'll see. I hope it's a good game. I don't follow UC that closely, but I want to see them do well in, you know, every game but this one. So
sure.
I think, like you said, it's going to be a close game for a while. It's going to end up like 35-17 or something like that, which makes it look like it wasn't as close as it was, but
Ohio State's the kings of that too, where they separate in the last like part of the game. But yeah. I was cockier last week than I am this week after seeing them play, because UCLA, like you said, it should have been a blowout. They were way better than UCLA, and it was way too close for comfort.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's a good game this weekend. I don't have a ton of confidence that the Bearcats can pull it out, but as long as they keep it close, I think that keeps their, you know, their New Year's Day bowl game chances high.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I think is the ceiling for this Bearcats team.
Yeah, they're not sneaking into a BCS or the playoff game, but they're not sneaking into the playoffs or any of the, you know, big. They won't be at large for the whichever bowl game gets the at large bid. depending right. on the rotation. But yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. I think that's the ceiling, and this doesn't hurt their chances, even if it's a blowout, if they run the table the rest of the way or only lose to UCF the rest of the way. I think that they still have a shot, but yeah, I don't know. It'll be a good one. It'll be interesting. And it's on, you know, big ABC, so it's the national game too. So mm-hmm. it'll be a fun, good chance for exposure, good chance for the storyline of Luke Fickell to be talked about a lot. So mm-hmm. I think it'll be a good game.
Yep.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of Fickell commentary on the, since obviously that's where he came from and that's where he played his college ball at. There's going to be a lot of some good expose.
Yep. It'll be good. So you want to jump into our Bengals predictions?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Might as well. I'll just go ahead and get mine out of the way. I think this team is a team that's going to, they're going to have a stretch where they make us think they've got it figured out. And it's obviously not going to be the case, but I think that they're a 7-9 team. I think they win seven games. The seven games I said they would win were the 49ers, the Bills, the Jaguars, the Raiders, beat the Steelers and Browns once, and beat the Dolphins. I just think, especially with the issues we've seen at linebacker, if LeVar Jackson can get out in open space, I don't think they can beat the Ravens if Jackson is playing well. And they've got them twice in the first 10 weeks. So they, even if they start picking up some linebackers, there's a chance that they're just not. I mean, it's early enough in the season. They play in week six the first time. And that's the same reason I had them losing to the Cardinals in week five, was just because I don't see them being good against a running quarterback. And they play a couple of them this year. So that's why, I mean, I've got them at 7-9. I think they'll split with the Browns and Steelers, but get swept by the Ravens in the division. And they're good. They're going to be good, just good enough not to get the top pick, top couple picks, which is going to suck. But that's what we do in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
We suck just enough to be out of it, but not enough to get one of the top picks. So 7-9.
I've got them a couple games under you. I've got them going 5-11. I do not have a ton of confidence going into this season, and I think that kind of goes back to the offensive line troubles and just the Andy Dalton issues that I see. They don't have a great secondary. They don't have a great pretty much the only thing I'll say about the Bengals that is great right now is the defensive line. Mm-hmm. And they have that in spades, but every other aspect of their game I think could see a ton of improvement. I don't know what Zach Taylor's offense or defense is going to look like, and I honestly don't go into the season with a ton mm-hmm. of confidence in the team, so I would love it if I was wrong, but I don't see them performing great throughout the season. I got them going 5-11. I hope I'm wrong, but we'll see, I guess. Upcoming. What you got, Jeff and Witt?
So I'll go next. I also had them at 5-11. And I had them beating the Bills, Jaguars, Jets, Browns, and I had one more of the earlier games. I don't know if I forget what, doesn't matter. But I just looking at them, last year they went 6-10, and I felt like coming into this season they were more or less the same team, you know, minus, you know, a few pieces. And then in the offseason they had their, you know, their first round pick go down that they were, you know, relying on to kind of solidify that offensive line a little bit. You know, then again on the offensive line they had, you know, two guards retire, so they've gotten thinner at places. They, you know, they've cut down the linebacker core, which again it's because they didn't have the guys that were up to their standards, but they haven't gone out and gotten more guys that are up to their standards. So they haven't really gotten any better. I think they've gotten worse than they were last year. You're starting the season without a healthy AJ Green. You know, who knows when he's going to be back, and when he's back, who knows if he's going to be 100% or not. So it's just tough. I think, like I said before, I think it's a bad position for a new head coach to be in, trying to make his name and put his stamp on the team. But I don't know. I bounced back and forth between 4-12 and 5-11. I landed on 5-11, and you know, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see them being very good this year. So that's kind of where I see it shaking out.
I think they repeat 6-10. A lot of the same reasons you guys said. I do think if they could get healthy towards the late part of the year, and like Jonah Williams comes back, because that's one of the possibilities. If AJ Green's healthy, I could see them squeaking in one or two more wins. But 6-10 is what I'm sticking with, because I don't expect any of that to happen. You know, they're an injury away from a 3-13 team, so they just didn't carry a lot over. So I'm just gonna. I don't think enough's changed. I don't think they got any better, like Witt was saying. I don't think they really, as bad as it seems, got any worse. I think that their O-line's very similar to what it was last year. So I just think they're I think there are things that are changing. So I get the new day thing, but I just don't think the team changed that much. So 6-10 is what I'm giving them.
I did not expect to be the...
No. I didn't expect you to be either. No, I thought 6-10 was going to be high. I thought
Jeff was going to be like,
I have a reach of 8-8.
10-6. Yeah.
No, I have a reach of 8-8, but that's just because I could see them squeaking in two unexpected victories. But 6-10, I just don't think they've changed enough. And 6-10 would put them right at that position where they're not going to be able to draft one of the top picks. So I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, but right now there's not a lot of confidence heading into the season, which honestly, when you're in this position, maybe that's a good thing as a fan, because you don't have that, you know, those high hopes to where if they do end up being bad, that, you know, you're disappointed, you know, you're kind of expecting, so you can just kind of go in and, you know, maybe enjoy watching the team and watching football without having, you know, it ruining your day when they lose, you know, saying that, knowing that it will still every single time they lose, I'll, you know, be pissed off about it, but we should.
I'm hoping that's the attitude I have during the season, but I don't see it shaking out that way.
I know.
I hope that, you know, their losses don't affect me like they did in the past few years, but I don't know. I don't see it happening.
Would you rather live through three seasons of 4, 5, or 6 wins or have a repeat of 15? Where just heartbreak.
I lived through the 90s, man. So,
and that's what always keeps. And honestly, that's what always keeps me kind of optimistic, is that I remember how bad the 90s were. And I say that to one of our loyal listeners all the time. Like, the 90s, you didn't even. I hope they win one game. That was the attitude going into the season. Like, they were awful.
Mm-hmm. But I was also. We were also at the age where. It was okay to like another team if the Bengals were terrible. So I picked up the 49ers as my team. So,
and I think all of us like the Niners or Cowboys in the 90s.
I went through a stretch where I was a Broncos fan, because it was when they switched their uniforms and I got a Broncos starter jacket. And
Troy Davis, man.
It's just the 90s Bengals. You never even, like, we wouldn't even be talking about what do we think their record's going to be. They're going to be terrible. Like, it would have just been that. Like, it wouldn't even been a conversation.
Yeah.
Dick LeBeau.
Bruce
Coslett. Yeah. I don't miss those guys. I really hope that Zach Taylor has a great first season and he just surprises all of us. Because none of us have him going even 500 in his first season.
Nope.
So, I mean, if he goes 500, I would consider that a victory for the year.
I think if they win four games, most of the national media would consider that a victory. I think most of the national media has him at 3 wins.
That's right, man. They're
entitled. I don't see how that happens. I know. I just don't see how that.
You don't see how they get up to 3?
No, I don't see how they lose 13.
I could see it. I mean, honestly, like, I don't expect it, but I could see it. I don't think they're going to be a good team. That being
said, I'll be miserable in a couple weeks.
I think we're all going to be miserable, but for different reasons.
Maybe they'll just blow Seattle out.
Yeah, we'll see.
I can't even say it without laughing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Russell Wilson suck now.
I hate going in being so pessimistic, but it's really hard with this team's history and what they've done in the offseason. I mean, I just don't see it. I would love to be one of those dudes like, yeah, they're going to be 12-4, but
everybody would hate you.
Yeah, and I mean,
you'd be a Browns fan.
We all hate Jeff.
I would never say they were going to be 12-4. Not with this team.
I don't know. We'll see.
I said 6-10.
I hit.
That's,
yeah,
that's high for that. That's about as high as I'm willing to go.
Right. We'll see. I don't know.
That's pretty pessimistic for me.
Sure.
I know you guys didn't expect me to say 6-10.
No, so, I was surprised.
Yeah, for sure. So what about the Super Bowl? Since we're throwing out predictions right now, let's go ahead and throw out who we think is going to be in the Super Bowl, since I guess it's not going to be the Bengals, predicting all of our, unless you got them sneaking in.
They'll sneak in 6-10 and then win the Super Bowl.
Theoretically, they could technically go 3-13 and still get in the playoffs if all...
This would be the year.
If every team in the division splits and then loses outside, everyone goes 3-13. So, hey, it's possible.
This would be the year that they would do it.
Yeah. Ben, why don't we go with your Super Bowl prediction first?
I've got New Orleans beating Kansas City.
Jesus Christ.
I just think that Drew Brees is going to have his swan song, and they'll make a big deal about it because they felt like they should have been there last year after that whole debacle, which has basically ruined football. That missed pass interference call has ruined football. So
yeah, sure.
It's just fitting that they're going to be rewarded with a Super Bowl run, and Drew Brees will get a Super Bowl or another Super Bowl. And I think that it's going to be the Chiefs are going to be much like the Rams this year, last year, where they were the young, fun team. And, you know, I mean, the Rams have been doing it for a couple years now, or the Chiefs have been doing it for a couple years now. But I think just the Patrick Mahomes train is just going to keep on trucking through, and he's going to avoid the Madden curse. And I think,
is it a train or a truck?
Truck.
His train is going to be trucking through. That doesn't make sense.
His train is going to chug on through. Yeah. So I think that New Orleans, the NFL loves a good story, and Drew Brees going out on top.
Yeah.
If he decides to be done, this will be the way to do it.
So I've got the Kansas City Chiefs also losing in the Super Bowl, just like you did, but I have them losing to the Falcons. I don't know. I just feel like Matt Ryan may finally get some redemption for what happened to him in the Patriots Super Bowl a couple of years ago, where they blew it in the second half. And I think this might be finally, you know, the Falcons' year. The Kansas City Chiefs are a very good football team, and they are going to do some crazy stuff this year in the AFC. But I think the Falcons may upset them in the Super Bowl.
So I also had the Saints or the Chiefs for most of the same reasons that that Ben said. So I'm not going to elaborate too much on that. I think, you know, like you said, I think Drew Brees goes out on top, and I think they're a talented team. So are the Chiefs. And, you know, the Saints could have been there last year if it wasn't for that call. I mean, you know, whatever. We'll see how the whole rule shakes out now. I think it was a rough start to it, but I think anytime they have a new rule, it's slow to get off the ground. But I think once the refs get into it and the replay people get into it, hopefully it doesn't have a huge impact on the games and its watchability, because that's really the biggest thing. I don't know that it's a bad thing.
So long this
year. Yeah, I don't know if it's a bad thing for the actual outcomes, because you want them to get it right, but I think it's just going to make it so painful to watch as a fan that are doing all of these, you know, replays. Because we've said it before, you could technically call pass interference on just about any passing play if you really wanted to get, you know, really into it. So we'll see how it goes, but I don't know. I'm hoping that it doesn't have that as big of an impact as we're expecting based on what we saw in the preseason.
I heard somebody in the preseason talking about reviewing holding.
Yeah, that would be.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like every single play.
Yeah, that would be.
Somebody holds. Like. But, ugh.
But yeah, I'm going Saints over Chiefs.
I am going Saints to win it all. I am going Saints over Patriots because I do agree the NFL likes a good story. That's what it should have been last year, so that's what it'll be this year. Yep. And I hate the Patriots, and they're going to be in the Super Bowl again because I'm tired of that. God knows when that's going to end. But, yeah, I got Saints over Patriots.
So not a ton of differences between the four of us, but I think Mac and I are the only two that have the same exact thing.
So, yeah, that's depressing that we can't even say, oh, they could make, the Bengals could make a run. So.
It could happen.
Yeah. But, I don't know. Anybody got a prediction? I mean, do you guys want to just, off the top of our heads, final score prediction for the Bengals on Sunday?
I'll say 24-14
Seattle. 24-17
Seattle.
I'm going 34-13 Seattle.
I'll go 31-17 Seattle.
There you have it. It's going to be an exciting game, folks.
That being said, I am pretty pumped that the NFL is back.
Yeah.
Even if we don't have a ton of confidence in the Bengals. I know that sports gambling is finally legal in Hollywood Casino, which is pretty close to us. So I haven't gone and made any bets because obviously today was the first day that it was legal there. But I am looking forward to maybe spending an NFL Sunday or two there.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, I'm hoping that it's as easy as it is in Vegas where you just put your money in and then you can kind of make bets on an app. Or they have, you know, a kiosk there with a screen that you can make your bets on. But I'm pretty excited for sports gambling to be legal somewhere close to us.
I was in Delaware when they, like the week that it rolled out there last summer. And it was very much like the older Vegas where you actually had to walk up to the ticket window and tell them what you wanted. And they put it off the screen. But I heard that they were exploring the idea of mobile betting in Indiana, which would mean as long as your cell phone is being pinged or whatever, that however they track it with your location services, you could put it in on a mobile app if you wanted to through like FanDuel, and like usually casinos have their own app. But I'm hoping for, like you said, Dan, with the way it is in some places now in Vegas too, where there's just like the little betting kiosk and you can kind of mix and match and you don't have to do the lingo and
right,
and don't seem and sound like an idiot if you're just placing a
bet. Parlay that with.
So
we are off tomorrow. What are you guys doing tonight?
I feel like everybody in their brother's probably doing that right now.
It might be free now.
Yeah, it might not be bad. I don't know.
Go at midnight.
The sports book might not be. I think the sports books usually have different hours though. Boom. I don't know if they have. If they have 24/7, like the actual, because it's not in the actual casino, it's like next to
it's
it.
It's outside before you get into it.
So I, but I do want to go down there before Thursday to maybe try to get some futures bets in on the NFL, some win
Andy
totals.
Dalton MVP.
And stuff. That's right.
You're locking your Bengals Super Bowl pick.
No, but I might take some over unders and on the win totals, and I usually like to.
Guess
to do stuff
like that.
Over
on that, huh?
On what? On the Bengals?
On the Bengals win total.
Yeah, that's right. Put it all on.
What are they set at right now?
Last I saw, I want to say it was like 6.5 or something like that.
Not bad.
Sunday would be the first shock of the season if they could pull that off.
Let's see. As of
my 6 wins, I did not have their first one being until the second game of the year. So.
Damn, they got to go that long.
Damn,
man. I definitely didn't have them winning against Seattle.
We got that.
See, the Bengals right now, they open at 5. They're at 5.5 as of last week or a week and a half ago.
On push.
So, but to go over, it's -130. If you take the under, you get it at +110. So,
I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean. You'd have to bet $1.30 to win $1 for the over.
Makes sense.
Yep.
I'm not betting that much on them.
So, but they, yep. So it's, I'm looking at them now. There's Arizona's 5.5, which is kind of a interesting one. I feel like Kyler Murray could be a, you know, a game changer that a lot of teams can't stop early on. But
Yeah, but he's also the kind of guy where if he ends up, you know, starting out flat, then they could very easily be a two-win team.
Right. Jeff, you could get Browns, although their odds, everyone's hitting the under, apparently. The Browns are set at 9 right now.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, but that's you wouldn't make much money. It was
probably a little bit higher earlier in the season, in the betting season.
Yep. So, all right, well, I guess I'm going to go to Hollywood tomorrow morning. So, thanks for tuning in again. And if you're listening to this to Labor Day, which I don't know if you would be, but enjoy your day off. And if it's Tuesday, hope you're not too hungover and don't have, just terrible, terrible feeling of dread that you're back at work.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. See you next week.
Bye.